بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I have been doing the last few days a series of khatiras on Islamic culture, manners and so on. Those of you who listen to these, you must have listened to them. Those of you who don't listen to this, maybe this is the time to start listening so you can get some thread of understanding. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because today I want to continue with that. And what I want to ask you a very simple question, and that is, what in your view, those of you who know history, and if you don't know history, you should read history. That's another very important thing to do, is to learn history, read history. What do you think, in your view, which period or which incident or which time was the greatest danger and the greatest harm caused to the Muslim world and to Islam and the whole Islamic culture? Anybody? Which time, place, whatever? Yeah.
So one is time of Uhud, and second is Mongolian.
Uhud and Mongolia, okay. Anybody else?
I've said present.
Present, okay. Let me, I don't want to respond to each, because that will take a long time, but alhamdulillah. In my study of history, I would say the greatest danger to Islam, the greatest harm that was caused to Islam was the period 1760 to 1840. What is this period, anybody knows? 1760 to 1840. Anyone? World War, no. There was no World War. Yeah. Industrial Revolution. Exactly. Industrial Revolution, 1760 to 1840. Now you might say, well, why is the Industrial Revolution a danger to Islam? Because our understanding of Industrial Revolution is, instead of people making things with their hands, individual artisans, you got them to make things collectively in factories. That's the Industrial Revolution is about factories. So machinery, factories, working together, the assembly line system, and so on. So why is that a danger to Islam? What does Islam have to do that? I'll tell you why. And I want to link it back to what our brother and elder Sheikh Abdullah said today. It was the greatest danger because the Industrial Revolution was not, I won't say it was not, and with that I'll say it was not only, because it was also about manufacturing, no doubt about that. But it was not only about manufacturing. The much bigger part of the Industrial Revolution was with cultural and intellectual and moral and ethical change. So it was not an industrial revolution, it was a cultural revolution, it was an ethical and moral revolution. Now I'll tell you why. There were three major changes that happened with the Industrial Revolution, and none of them have to do with machines. The first change that happened with the Industrial Revolution was that the time of day was changed. The time of day changed from sunrise to sunset to the shift time. Day began at your shift time. So if my shift was 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., then my day begins when? 2 a.m., which is the middle of the night. And my night begins when? 10 a.m., which is bright sunlight. I come home and go to sleep. When? In the daytime. And Allah said, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوَّكُمْ سُبَاتًا. وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا. Allah did not say وَجَعَلَّ اللَّيْلَ مَعَاشًا. Allah said we created the night for rest and we created the day for you to work. It changed the time of day, number one. And I'll tell you why all this is important. Number two, it changed the teachers. And by changing the teachers, it destroyed the family system. It changed the teachers in the sense that the Industrial Revolution was the beginning, was the birth of schooling as we know it. They didn't have schools before that. You had children who, until they grew to a certain age, their teachers were their parents. The father was the teacher, the mother was the teacher. The mother usually taught the child, and I'm looking at it from the Islamic perspective, but it was common across the board. The mother usually taught the child religion, manners, culture, tradition, systems, you know, what happens where, and so on and so forth. And for the girls, the mother taught the girl housekeeping. The girl was taught to take care of children, so mothering. All of this was part of the training of the girl. The mothers didn't run a classroom. This happened because they were in the house, there was a small child. Here, look after your sister, look after your brother. So this little one, who is maybe, like we sometimes we see in Asad's house, the little one, Muhammad, is carried by his sisters. The older one is bigger, but the younger one is like, you know, they're learning very, very important skills. They're learning how to take care of the young. The mothers taught the religion. My mother taught me to read Quran from the time I was 4 years old. She would sit. We had a living room and there was an outside door into the garden. So the door would be open. She would never shut the door. She'd leave it open. And she would sit there on the carpet with the Rahal and the Quran. And she had a big mushaf, big writing, black writing on a green background. And she used to say it's cool for the eyes to read on a green background instead of a white background. So she would sit there with the book open and she would come sit. And she would teach me to read, and I was 4 years old. And I had my energy was like, you know, if you touched me, you would get a shock. So she would make me sit there, and then I would read, and I would read like maybe two lines, and then I would get up, and I would run out into the garden. She never stopped me. She never shut the door. She never told me. She didn't intimate me to come back. But she would not leave that place. And I knew that she is not going to get up from there until I finished reading one page. Even if it takes the whole day. She never told me that. So I would go run around, come back. Because I know it has to be done. So I would sit. Then I would read. And she would say, read loudly. Because the birds are hearing. We had pigeons. She said, the birds are listening to you. The trees are listening to you. They will bear witness before Allah on the Day of Judgment. It's a conversation with a 4-year-old kid talking about Day of Judgment when you are dead. This is what mothers did. Fathers, agrarian societies, agricultural societies, the children went to the farm with the father. Even today in our countries, they learned to take care of animals. They learned when to plant, what to do, how to irrigate, how to plow the land, which goes with what. All things to do with agriculture, with repairing of tools, repairing of basic agricultural machinery, and so on and so forth. The children learned that from the parents. Industrial Revolution changed that. Because what happened in the Industrial Revolution was when the factory started, they needed labor, they needed workers. So they got all the men. That was the first cut. The women still stayed at home. But then they ran out of people. They didn't have people. So what to do? You need the women out. So the third change. The third change that happened was psychology got changed. The story was sold to the women that your fulfillment is in working outside the house. The role of the mother was discounted. This is not important. What is work? Raising children? I remember a conversation I had with one of my friends, his wife, many years ago in Australia. He came to me very in panic. He said, my wife wants to leave the house and go and work a full-time job. And we have small children. And I don't know, she just won't listen to me. What do I do? So she came. She came. I said, what happened? She said, no, Sheikh, there is no fulfillment in this. I will find fulfillment when I go out. I said, yeah, very true. I agree with it. Go. So my friend was shocked. He said, what? I brought her here for you to convince you. You're agreeing. I said, no. He said, but before you go, define for me what is fulfillment. That you want to get fulfillment, right? So what is it? So is fulfillment working in a call center, 8 hours, 10 hours, answering some calls about credit cards and God knows what? Or is fulfillment raising another generation? Which is fulfillment? And I said, not one generation. You are actually raising two generations. Because if you raise one generation, that generation raises the next one. So your teaching is passed on to at least two generations. So which is fulfillment? She understood. She never went out. But the mind got changed. So the women were sold this story that the fulfillment is to work outside the house. Feminism and your confidence and your independence is in not obeying your husband. I won't obey you. I don't need your permission to go out. Islam is backward. Why should I need permission of the husband? I don't need anyone's permission. But you see, stop for a minute. When you go to work, do you need your boss's permission to take leave? Yes. Do you need your boss's permission to leave your workplace and go anywhere? Yes. Can you go there and say, I don't need permission? Yeah, sure. You don't need permission to go, but you need permission to come back. So, Assalamu alaikum. Goodbye. So when you don't want to obey your husband, Allah makes you obey some strange man with whom you have no connection. Minds got changed. And therefore, the schooling system happened. And the schooling system was that instead of parents being the teachers of their children, and because we all had the joint family system, so in one family, there were multiple elders. I will show you a picture of my family when I was growing up. Multiple elders. You had grandparents. You had grandparents, siblings. So you had, like I had 2-3 grandfathers. I mean, my direct grandfather, his brother is what? He's also my grandfather. Right? So my grandmother, her sister is what? She's also my grandmother. So we had multiple grandparents. We had multiple uncles and aunts who were like our parents. So we lived together, even though they individually had their own houses and kitchens and so on. We lived together, all the kids. Whoever, if I was in this uncle's house, I would eat food there. Nobody, no problem. I didn't have to go back. His uncle did not say, no, go to your father's house. No, you are my child, like my own children. And also, if I did something wrong, this uncle will correct me. If necessary, this uncle will whack me on my behind, if needed. And if I went and complained to my father, I would get a second whack. Because tarbiyah was everybody's job. Now today we only have the words, it takes a whole village to raise a child. You must have heard this, right? But what happens? What is the reality today? If your child is corrected by somebody, your child comes into the masjid, does some nonsense. One of the people in the masjid, one of the brothers, he corrects your child. Usually what happens? You will come. Excuse me. Assalamu alaikum, my son. What did you say to my son? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I should say, Jazakumullahu khairan ya habibi. Thank you very much for correcting my son. No, no, no. What? You talk to my son like that? The culture changed. Three changes. Change in the daylight hours, daytime. Change in teachers. And because of the change in teachers, the whole complete cultural change, especially targeted at women, and change in schooling system. So the parents were no longer the teachers. The teacher was there for what they did was they take the woman out of the house, man is already out of the house, put instead of one, five, four, five children having two parents, two teachers. Now instead of five children with two teachers, you had 30 children with one teacher. And that one teacher was doing a job for a salary. They had no emotional connection with any of the children. He's working for a salary. And what did he bring? He brought or she brought whatever they came with. So their own culture, their own values, their own ethics, morals came into the classroom, not yours. And the final thing also connected with this was the change in women's fashions, clothing. Just look at pictures of this country, of America, of Europe, pre-1760, and see how women used to be dressed. Their heads were covered, they used to wear long skirts, full sleeves. Fashion changed not for any other reason. This whole showing and body and stuff is later. Fashion changed for the reason of safety. It was unsafe for a woman or anybody to work next to a machine in loose clothing. To this day, you cannot. If you are working next to a machine, especially with the chains and whatnot and wheels, to work next to a machine with loose clothing meant that the clothing got cut, you got killed. They can't have that. Change the clothing. So the thing was put into the women's head, your body, my body is my body. If I want to show it, I can show it. And what you call today influencers. They didn't have the name, but they are the people. So billboards, messages in different ways. The ideal woman, the ideal man looked very different from the ideals according to Islam. Now, why was this a challenge and why was this the greatest danger that Islam faced, inshallah, my next satira. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalla to be pleased with us and to enable us to do what is necessary for Him to be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.